size pig.
Okay. This way, fine. Good morning. First of all, yes, public here, Shalom Aleichem, Rav Reb Lipa. Nice to have you back in Manchester. Are we okay? Can you hear me? Okay, that's better. I'm just moving closer. I was speaking to Dan Berger on Yom Tov and a few other Rabbonim, and discussing some of the Shailas that came up over Yom Tov. And we agreed that Shailas that come up in less Haimishik Kehillas are always more interesting than the Shailas that come up in Haimishik Kehillas. I think they said, B'Shem Rav Yashiv, that things were getting boring until the Kiruv movement started. Because once the Kiruv movement started, it was a very... people came up with all sorts of shayas. You know, you want to ask how many... If you forgot Masha Baruch, you didn't forget about Masha Baruch. You left at Yal V'Yavah, didn't leave at Yal V'Yavah. We've heard the shayla 50 times, but you have somebody whose father is this and whose mother is that, and he has to go visit, and he needs all the kulas, and he needs to know what he can and he can't eat. That's when it starts getting interesting. So, I had a few different shayas that came up over Yom Tov that I could have discussed, such as somebody flying across the ocean on Sunday to get somewhere an hour before Yom Tov, or an hour and a half before Yom Tov. And the Shailas were about, if he knows his flight is delayed, can he get on the plane? If he's on the plane and the flight is delayed, what happens when he lands? Does he have an Isser of Tchum? Can he move his bag? Can he take his bags with him? If he gets a taxi to take him back, can he get the taxi to take him back? So you can get very weird and complicated Shailas. And when I presented the Shaila to Rav Rezhna, he said, if somebody in my Kehillah asked me the Shaila, I'd tell him you're a pochus, and I'm not giving you an answer on that. But in my Kehillahs, I don't really have that luxury, I guess. So you leave with Shailas like that, or somebody wanted to know, they wanted to go to hospital, they wanted to know whether it was better to go by taxi or by Metrolink. Things of those sort. But we're gonna discuss something a little bit more, I guess, just mundane or regular. Somebody came over to me on Shmini Atzeres in Shul, and he says, Rabbi, I forgot to plug in my hot plate. Am I allowed to get a goy to plug in my hot plate for me on Yom Tov? And if I do get a goy to plug in my hot plate for me on Yom Tov, do I need to tell him Beremiza? Do I need to just give him a bit of a hint? Or can I tell him straight out to plug in my hot plate? That was a shaila that I was asked. Okay? So, let's go through it slowly to start understanding. First of all, let's understand the concept of Amir La'akum. I think we did speak about Amir La'akum in the past already, but I'd like to speak about it just briefly again. Amir La'akum means that the Rabbonin made an Isser that they said, we don't only want you not to do anything wrong on Shabbos or Yom Tov, as we'll get to Yom Tov in a minute. We don't only want you to do things wrong not on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You shouldn't ask a goy to do things for you either. Because imagine, if you had the luxury of asking a non-Jew to do whatever you wanted to on Shabbos, you could run a business. Sit in your shop, they come over to you, they say, what should I do? Sell him this, sell him that. That's what you should charge him, that's what you should do. I've not done anything, it's all the guy. You could run an entire household. You could get your cleaner to come in, do all the washing, the laundry, the cleaning, everything, ironing, everything all over Shabbos. You say, I didn't do anything. Motzei Shabbos, your wife's so excited, Baruch Hashem, the whole house is fresh clothes. And you got the kids out, if you go out for davening and then you go out for a suda, you get a whole 6 hours that the cleaner gets in the house without anybody interfering, she'll get a lot done. You get a lot done by getting going to do things in the house, or in your business, or wherever, the entire Shabbos or Yom Tov. Said Chazal, we don't want you to do that. And they base it, it's seen as an asmachta, but they base it on a pasuk. And interestingly enough, the pasuk that they base it on is not even a pasuk from Shabbos, it's a pasuk by Yom Tov. By Yom Tov it says, Kol melacha lo ye'osa bohem, and we'll get to the second half of the pasuk a bit later also. You cannot have any malacha done, rather only the things that are needed for eichel nefesh, which we'll define later, things that are needed for food purposes, that you are allowed to do. That's what the Torah tells us. From that we learn, it says, doesn't say kol malacha lo ya'ase bohem. Kol malacha lo ya'ase bohem would mean, literally translated, do not do any malacha in them. However, we have translated it differently. Oh, the Torah has really written it differently. Kol malacha, o malacha, lo ye'ase. Ye'ase is really passive. Pardon? Getting other people to do it. And therefore, Chazal say that the Torah is telling us over here, not only are you not allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov, but you're also not allowed to cause others to do malacha on, well, until now it's always been Shabbos. Now, Yom Tov, first of all, Yom Tov seems to make sense to include it for the simple reason that the pasuk is written by Yom Tov. But if you look in halacha, halacha is in Simen Tovkuf Yud Zayin, Siv Beis. There's about a question about what you're allowed to buy from a chenveni on Yom Tov. If you're stuck, can you get something from a chenveni or not? And the Shulchan Aruch says the following in Siv Beis. Tovkuf Yizayin Siv Beis. Yisrael Shamalein Yehudim Mibayad Yoyim. If a Jew said to a non-Jew before Yom Tov, Tikna li yoinim lemocher, I need pigeons for tomorrow. Whatever it is, chickens, fowl, whatever kind of fowl you want for the next day. You're asking him to buy it for you tomorrow. Lo yofa also, it's wrong, he shouldn't have done that. If he did it, if you did it, then you're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov. So he brings in the Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Tess. The atam, the reason. The chol masha also lasses ayidei Yisrael be'atzmoi, also loyma la'akum lasses be Yom Tov. Anything you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to ask a guy to do for on Yom Tov. In the same way we said by Shabbos is an issa amir la'akum, anything you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to ask a guy to do for you. On Yom Tov as well, you're not allowed to ask a guy to do anything from Yom Tov if you are not allowed to do it. You might say, well, you know what? I never asked him to do it on Yom Tov. So it's not even Amir La'akum on Yom Tov. I spoke to the guy, Erev Yom Tov. Erev Yom Tov, I said to him, do me a favor, tomorrow do something for me. So you say, you did Amir La'akum? Me? I didn't say anything on Yom Tov. Im Kol Zeh, says Mishnah Berurah, and that's what we're asking, that we don't allow Amir La'akum, and we won't allow Amir La'akum on Yom Tov. So we have now, for the first, you say that we have is, you cannot do Amir La'akum on Yom Tov. Now, we get to the second question. The question becomes, what about making a fire on Yom Tov? That's the next question. So we all know, let's take a step back from that, before I get to that even. We mentioned the Pasuk before. What does the Pasuk say? You cannot let any malacha being done on that, or cannot do any malacha, depends how you want to translate it. However, asher ye'ochel lechol nefesh, which will be eaten for everybody, hu levada yasachem, that you can do. And from that we learn what's the klal on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov you're allowed to do malachas for tzarech ochel nefesh. Not all malachas tzarech ochel nefesh. There'll be different rules that we'll have and we'll discuss partially soon. For example, I mean, one of the rules is a famous rule. Is a question that says, ye'ochel lechol nefesh. It has to be dov ashov lechol nefesh. It has to be something that everybody does. So the discussion is mugmer. And from that moves on to smoking. Mugma was a type of incense that people used to. People used to sprinkle things on fire and used to give off a fragrant odor, give a very nice smell. Were you allowed to, or were you not allowed to do that on Yom Tov? So you say you're not allowed to do that because that's mefunokim. That's for the people that are very, very picky and finicky. Showers falls into this because that's not asher ochel lechol nefesh. At least in the olden days, not everybody took a shower. And well, showers, I don't even know if they had it. If they took a bath, and even then, it wasn't every day. People didn't have the luxury of going on a daily basis to a bathhouse. You went whenever you managed, however long it would be between the different times. So that's considered funokin. There are other rules which come up with asher ochel lechol nefesh. I'm sorry. Barbecue? Yeah, you could do a barbecue on Yom Tov. So we'll speak about barbecue in a minute. That'll be part of what we'll discuss. No. So, okay, so there's a question. There's two questions to be discussed. One is the question of You know, the can you light the flame, can you, etc., etc. So we'll discuss that in a minute. The other question is, some people say it's not Kovod Yom Tov, that's a different discussion. So the Kovod Yom Tov issue, I'm not going to get into. That depends how Haimish you are and how you feel about it. Some people say, you know, why shouldn't I have good food, the food that I like best on Yom Tov? Some people say this is not what, you know, this is not Yisrael Sabo, they never in the shtetl made a barbecue. I don't think the shtetl ever made a barbecue. Not during the week, not on Yom Tov. So, it's up for discussion. But when it comes to Eichel Nefesh, so barbecue, let's talk barbecue. That's a good question. Barbecue, can you make a barbecue on Yom Tov? So the halacha is, yes, officially, you could do a barbecue on Yom Tov. Why? Because as a halacha, tzarech Eichel Nefesh, you're allowed to do. So what are you going to do? You want to light a fire, melech is Eichel Nefesh, you can light a fire. You want to fan it, so as long as you don't use a professional fanning device, you can do that as well. You want to put the meat onto the fire to cook it, oh, you don't really put it on the fire. You want to put it on top of the coals to cook it? Also allowed to do. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. Here comes even the other bit. There's an issue when, especially when you put meat over coals, what's going to happen? It'll drip. When it drips, what's it going to do temporarily to the coals? It's going to extinguish the coals. So you have a problem of kibui. There, the halacha says, that's called kibui letzarech eichel nefesh, that's called putting out a fire for purposes of eating, and that type of kibui will be mutter. Even though in general, kibui is not mutter. Even though it's a halacha letzarech eichel nefesh, we don't allow kibui in general on Yom Tov. We don't allow you to put out a fire on Yom Tov. I'm sorry? Could be, maybe that was a din d'oraisa. The Torah says that you should make a korban pesach. But the Torah says lemaisa, we say that if it drips down, that's a kibui that we allow on Yom Tov.
So you have to boil a pot over.
Pardon? So that's already a question you allow to. Lemaisa, we allow that, but it's not, but that's already, the etzim, only if you use, first of all, you have to use the water. Right? You can't just boil a pot over to let it turn off the fire. Because then you can't just for no purpose boil a pot. It has to be an eichel nefesh thing. So you're going to have to make a tea from that water. Which is fine. You let the water boil over, take a bit of that water and use it to make a tea. Because you can't just boil water for no reason. Fun?
Even a hot water bottle.
Or make a hot water, whatever you want to do, a hot water bottle also. Again, but you need to use it. If you're just going to heat it up, you can't do it. Then, lemaisa, that's what we use as the heter. If you're stuck and you have a fire on and the water boils over, etc., etc. But be'etzim, that's only because you're goyrim the kibui. You're boiling the water, and the water boiled over, and it was goyrim the kibui, and then my fire went out, and the gas is on. I should turn off the gas. But be'etzim, that's not really what we should do. Be'etzim, so for example, if you have a pot on the flame, and let's say you have a chond on the flame, and the flame is too high, so then there's a shayla, what should you do? Should you lower the flame, or should you turn on a smaller flame and move it to another? So if you have another flame and you can turn on a smaller flame, then all the paiskim seem to be in agreement that you should turn on a smaller flame and move it over to a smaller flame, because Havara, lighting a flame, is a lot less stringent than putting out a flame. So that turning down the gas will be a lot more stringent. If you have nowhere else to put it and you need to cook it, so then there are those that say you can turn down the flame. But turning down the flame is not so poshut. And even then I would say to people, if you're going to go ahead and you want to turn on a gas on Yom Tov, so we often do that on Yom Tov, I don't want to keep on the flame for 2 whole days. Nothing to do with the money of it, but I feel uncomfortable with the kids being around, etc., etc. So the first night, we're okay. You heat the fire up before Yom Tov. You put it on a hot plate. All good. The second night is where it starts getting complicated, because now you have to heat up the things. You can't heat them up from the first day Yom Tov, because there's achana from first day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov. So what are you going to do? You're going to come home from shul, and your wife's going to put the food on the hot plate. You go wait 3 hours for things to heat up. So the best way to do it is to get a flame to put on a flame. So now what you do is you can turn on the gas, you can take from an existing flame, which we'll discuss in a minute, you turn on your gas ring, and you're good to go. However, what I would say is, it's very important, if you're going to do that, what's the best way to do it? You turn on your gas ring to the lowest setting that you have. Make sure the gas is on the lowest setting, and only then light your then light the flame. Then you have a tiny little light. Now you're allowed to add to that. That everybody agrees. Move it slowly to the level that you want it and keep it there. But if you turn it on full blast and then you want to make it lower, that'll be awesome. Because that's kibbutz on Yom Tov. That'll be considered kibbutz on Yom Tov. So you got to be very careful, kibbutz on Yom Tov. Yeah, you can get around it in the way that you said. But again, that's a way of getting around it. That's not really the chatchila thing. The chatchila, we shouldn't be putting out fires on Yom Tov. So that's an interesting thing. So even though fires in general we don't put on Yom Tov, because that's not Tzorech HaEichel Nefesh, unless it's Mamash Tzorech HaEichel Nefesh, like what we said before, making a barbecue, where you put the food on top of the coals, and it's impossible for it not to drip, and you want to make your meat that way by roasting, it's going to drip down onto your coals, and temporarily put out the coals, that is Mutter. That bit is Mutter. Okay? So Malachas Tzorech HaEichel Nefesh, we just said, is Mutter. The question therefore becomes, everybody knows, when you make a fire on Yom Tov, how do you make a fire on Yom Tov? You need to use pre-existing flame. Where's the no flame?
By a barbecue, it comes to a point where there's no flame, it's just, it goes white and boiling hot.
No, so inside, if you move, the white is because there's ash on it. If you blow away the ash, you'll see they're red hot. The coals are red. There's some... I don't know what is in the coals, what's not in the coals, but as I understand, it's not only a heat source. The coal has some kind of a tremendous amount of fire in it. Rabbi Yehuda, you used to know about it. What's in the coals? You know, how does it work with the coals? You take the coals, I mean, when I do barbecues, you do barbecues with the coals, you get the coals very, very hot. The fact that they're white, you take a plate or something else, you blow at it, all the ash comes off.
Don't do that.
The fire... No, but there is fire inside. Not only that. Yeah, but if there's fire inside, so much so, I would say, that I know that, for example, if you want to get your fire, if you want to get your coals hotter, what do? They're already a little bit red, so you blow it. If you blow it enough, what's going to happen? Okay, that's already your tchum. I don't know how to do it. Okay, that's your tchum. I don't know, you know, barbecues is that's going to be your... Yeah. They allow what? Yeah, you get. I don't see why not. You know, and halach, I can see why you allow it. It's a question of, you know, covered Yom Tov if you don't want to do it. But mitzvah halach, I can understand why you would allow it. Now, the question is, we just said, everybody here said, I said, we can light a flame on, you can make a fire on Yom Tov only from a pre-existing flame. If I ask you the question, why is it I can only make a fire on Yom Tov from a pre-existing flame, if we just established that Melechus Reichel Nefesh is Mutter, and I need to have a fire to be able to make whatever it is that I want to make, that's Melechus Reichel Nefesh. Take a match, light a fire. Why not?
Maybe the Oraisa.
Where's the Daraisa? The Daraisa says you're allowed to do anything by Reichel Nefesh.
So I mean, the difference. The Oraisa ain't happened, the Rabbam or not, is that the difference?
So we'll have to get to that. But why? Yeah? So that's what we're getting to. Okay? But the question we're asking is, and that's the question that's discussed in the Rishonim. Why is it? So the Gemara says in Beitza that you cannot make a fire, you can't be mighty fire. And why is it can't be mighty fire? Hare, we know that Melechus Reichel Nefesh is Mutter. Okay? So there's a machlokes between the Rishonim, why we cannot be mighty fire. Okay? Some say the reason you cannot be mighty a fire on Yom Tov is because it's considered an island. You've created something new. If there's an existing flame, so you're taking that flame, you move it around, so that's not creating anything new. But to take a flame, yesh me'ayin, it didn't exist previously, and now it does exist. That's an island. Others say, and here's another rule, that a flame is only considered machshire eichel nefesh. So let's just quickly discuss machshire eichel nefesh. Machshire eichel nefesh means, there's what we say is eichel nefesh. For example, eichel nefesh would be making food. Machshire eichel nefesh would be doing something that will aid you in the preparation of the food. So, for example, I want to sharpen my knife on Yom Tov to be able to cut whatever it is better. Pardon? To shecht. Shecht is a good example. Okay? In general, most people don't shecht, but there are plenty of people at home that sharpen knives. I sharpen my knives at home. Before you go, you go about a task with your knife. You want to have a good sharp knife. If your knife is blunt, you play around with it. Your knife is sharp, you take it, you sharpen it, you have whatever sharpener you use, and it goes, it's smooth. So you want to sharpen your knife. Not suppose you need to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov. That's Machshir Eichel Nefesh. You could have done it yesterday. So Machshir Eichel Nefesh, that is, it's not necessary for the preparation, it's necessary in the preparation of the food, but it's not really the food. So therefore, I can't do it on Yom Tov, I could have done it the day before. Says the Rambam, a fire, could have made fire yesterday, I don't have to make fire today. And fire is only machshira eichel nefesh, it's not food, it's helping me in the preparation of the food. And therefore the Rambam is of the opinion that says that you cannot make a fire on Yom Tov because it is considered machshira eichel nefesh. Okay? And Machsherech HaNefesh, which you could have done from the day before, you can't do on Yom Tov. That's the machlokes that we have in this. The Maisa, there is one more shita, but we don't hold like that. The Taz, if you look at the Taz in Simen Tov Kuf Beis, the Taz is of the opinion that it's the Doraisa to make a new fire on Yom Tov. Pardon?
You can't make a barbecue out of Yom Tov because it won't last.
No, but you can make a fire, you can have a candle. You can have a candle, now I have a flame. I can take from that flame and move it to the barbecue. That's not a big deal. Right? You're right, I can't make a barbecue out of Yom Tov. So that's why that's not considered Machsherech HaNefesh. I can do that on Yom Tov. But how am I going to light my barbecue? So I need a flame to light the barbecue. So all I need to do is I need to, for 50 pence, buy a 2-day candle, or a 1-day candle, whatever. Derech Agav, I read this year a very, very good tip, which I'd like to share with everybody, but I found it worked for us very, very well. 1-day candles often last exactly 24 hours, and if you need them for Yom Kippur, for Ner Sheshavas, they don't work. So what you do is, before you light the candle, you pour in a little bit of oil, olive oil, into the candle, it settles inside, and it keeps it going for another 2-3 hours. Matz Yom Kippur, we had lots of neighbors knocking on there, all their lights went out, Baruch Hashem, ours lit for another 2-3 hours after Yom Kippur also. Pardon? Okay. You can buy different things, whatever you want to buy. You can buy a bigger one. But Yom Kippur, you want it to go through all the time. So if you pour in a little bit of oil before you light the candle, that makes things very easy. It sinks down to the bottom. It's not gonna make any problems with the wick, etc., etc. Once it's lit, it's a little bit more complicated because you might sort of add too much oil to it. You might drown the wick, and then it's not going to work. But if you put it in before you light the wick, it sinks down. It works very, very well. Okay. Okay, you can do that also if you want to. Okay, now, Lemaisa. You have your candle you can make from yesterday. Your barbecue, as was said, I cannot, if I light coals yesterday, no matter how good your coals are, they're not going to last till today in order for me to make a barbecue. So yeah, I can light a barbecue in order to make a barbecue today if I wanted to. But I cannot light a new fire because that's something I could have done yesterday. All I needed to have is a 24-hour candle, and that's what you do. So that's where the three were machlokes. Okay. Now, let's go back to the rules of Amir L'Akum. We did discuss the rules of Amir L'Akum in a different shir. I don't even know when that was. But the rules of Amir L'Akum are as follows. Amir L'Akum, we said before, even though we brought a posuk, Lemaisa, we pass him is only considered a Rabbonon. Okay? There are questions about whether you can ask a goy to do something which is Dereisa or not. There's a famous shita of the Balo Itta, which is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah brings it, he doesn't pass him like it, but Mocha Matchak Godel, sometimes you can be Soymach on this Balo Itta. The Balo Itta says, you can even ask a goy to do a Malacha Dereisa. Therefore the Balo Itta says, you can ask a goy to turn on a light. If it's dark, you go and you tell the goy, light a candle, it's dark in the room, and the Balo Itta allows it. Lemaisa, we don't allow it, but there is a shita bala itta that I have heard Rabbonim use as a sniff lahokal in specific instances. But in general, we don't allow you to ask a goy to do a deraisa. However, if you're going to ask a goy to do a drabonon, then it already depends. Because now already you have one drabonon, which you mentioned before, of asking a non-Jew to do something. Number two, you have a drabonon asking him to do something which is be'etzim only drabonon. Because you're asking him, we'll see in a minute what we're going to ask him to do. So if you've asked a guy to do something that's drabonon, and asking the guy is a drabonon, and now comes the extra bit and it's necessary for purposes of mitzvah, choyle, whatever else it might be, choyle is even greater things can be allowed as well, but definitely for tzarech mitzvah, for whatever tzarech it might be, then we say amir la'akum. If it's a shvus to shvus, which means the rabbonon on top of the rabbonon, but mokoy mitzvah will be allowed. Okay? So, I'll give you an example that happened to me, and then we'll come back to the case over here that we're talking about as well. The example that I give you that happened to me years ago, my schach blew off my sukkah. It was about, I think it's almost 9 or 10 years ago. 9 or 10 years ago, there was a tremendous, tremendous wind. It was a year where sukkahs were flying around left, right, and center. Terrible, terrible wind. And I woke up in the morning and I looked outside and I looked at my sukkah and I see the schach is gone. Off. It was in the next door neighbor's garden. You know, not even, it was like half on, half off. The schach was in my next door neighbor's garden. It's Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay? Oh, so here this makes it more complicated because we're Shabbos. That's what made the whole thing. Right. So it's Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the question was, can you ask a guy to put your schach back on your sukkah on Shabbos or on Yom Tov? That's a discussion for different times. So I discussed it with different rabbanim. Some said yes, some said no. It was very complicated. In the end, one Rav said yes, we put it on, the wind blew it straight back off again, and it was too complicated. In the end, we left, another Rav said, don't do it. So then at the time, I said, okay, I was at shul, and I told a friend of mine, he said, yeah, come eat by us, no problem, just eat by us, it's not a big deal. But then this other Rav said, fix the sukkah. So I went and I fixed the sukkah, it blew off again, and then I went back to my friend, I said, it blew off, he goes, we finished eating already, there's kemat nothing left, and it's all cold. And it's Shabbos, it's not Yom Tov. So now I'm stuck. I have food, but it's in my house. And this is pre-Eruv days. Okay, this is before we can discuss whether you should or shouldn't carry on Shabbos in the Eruv. Here, nobody carried. So now what do you do? So I went to speak at the time to Rav Leibish Rabinowitz, who was a neighbor across the road, who used to live in our house. I went across the road and I asked him what we should do. And at the time, he had his shver there from Rav Sternbuch from Antwerp. And he said to me, he said, well, ask a guy, your next door neighbor, ask them to go and to bring your food from your house across the road to your neighbor's sukkah and eat it there. And that's what we did. So we went, we took the cholent, we had the guy bring it over, and we had the cholent over there. Why? Because asking the guy to bring it across the road, asking a guy to do something, a malach is only derabbanan. Asking a guy to cross King's Road with a cholent, don't tell anybody, but that's only derabbanan. You know, even if people will tell you that it's not, it is only a derabbanan. Even certain rabbanim have passed that it was a derabbanan to cross the road with the food. And it was a mokum tzarech because I had nowhere else to eat. I needed a sukkah and I couldn't take the food anywhere else. And it was Shabbos and I wasn't allowed to carry. So then they said, ask the guy next door to take your cholent across the road. And that's what he did. The cholent came across the road and I had my sukkah over there, my next door neighbor. Pardon? Meforish. Why? Shvus to shvus, mamokim mitzvah is mutter to ask meforish. There was no remise over there. Go to your next door neighbor, knock on, say my sukkah is broken, I can't fix my sukkah, I need to eat by a neighbor across the road. Please, can you bring my cholent from here to there? No problem, went and brought the cholent. Yeah? I will mention that it's important when you get a guy, to get a guy who's a bit more seicheldik. Remember, we brought a guy in, 2 or 3 years ago, 5 years ago maybe. My daughter got her hair stuck in a button in the back of her dress, and we couldn't dislodge it without ripping the hair out. And ripping hair out is toilish on Shabbos, so it's a problem. So what are we going to do? So we were told, you can go ask a guy, especially because Mokum Tzar, even though it might be a derisive, but it's a question, if it's going to be derisive, he's going to pull out, no, go ask a guy. So I went to my next door neighbor, and I knocked on, I said, would you mind coming with me, we have a bit of an issue. And he comes with me, and he has a look, and I show my daughter with the hair stuck in the dress and everything, and he looks at me, he goes, I think you need a scissors for that. And I said, I was about to say to the guy, I didn't call you as a consultant. I also know how to cut hair. I know what a scissors can do. And then he goes, oh, you want me to do it? I'm like, shkoyach, Friday night. I brought you here to show you that my daughter's hair got stuck to her dress, just so you can tell me that I need a scissors to do it. So, you know, some guy, you know, they knock on the door. Yeah, what do you need? I know already. Which, I'm coming to your house. What do you want me to turn on? They know already. As soon as he knocks on by them, that's what they want. Others are not as seichelik. They don't get yet what the whole shtickle is. So that was a story that I had. So the shvus, memokah mitzvah, allowed to do it. So now let's come back to our case with a hot plate. Plugging in a hot plate, what's going to be the issue of plugging in a hot plate? Okay, if you want to say boina, Chazanish says boina. However, so there's two ways to deal with boina. Number one to deal with boina is that most Paiskim don't seem to go with the Chazanish about boina. That's number one. Number two, and this is an interesting one, on Yom Tov, there's a Shitta of Taisvis in Shabbos that says boina is mutter on Yom Tov. And how does he get that? He says, because on Yom Tov, if you wanted to do, let's say you wanted fresh cheese, you could put rennets into milk to create cheese. And that, in Halacha, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do, me'isra boina. To make cheese on Yom Tov is considered, is awesome because of boina. And therefore, on Shabbos, Shabbos is awesome. And therefore he says, but it's Oichel Nefesh, so you'd be allowed to do it on Yom Tov. And if you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov, now we have another klal that says, Mitoich Shehutra Letzorich, Hutra Shalei Tzorich. Since I'm allowed to do it for Oichel Nefesh, I'm allowed to do it even in cases of not Oichel Nefesh, as long as it's a little bit Oichel Nefesh. So here, this is definitely a little bit Oichel Nefesh. So either you don't go by the Chazanish, or even if you go by the Chazanish, you have a din over there where you can say that it would at most be a Darabonim. Because, you know, you have the you have Tosis to be Samechan as well, so you have that to be Samechan. But what else could be the issue? The other issue would be Mavir, making a fire. However, what did we just say? That Mavir is an Isra on Yom Tov to make a fresh fire is an Isra, which is only Derabonon. And a lot of Paiskim say that if you went and you made a fire on Yom Tov, even though you weren't supposed to make it, you're allowed to have Hanor from that fire.
Is there a fire in the hot plate?
Oh, so that's a good question. There is no fire in a hot plate. Inside, as I understand it, when I've been to some of these... you're an electrician, you could probably tell us. But when I've been to these hot plate safety demonstration days, where they open up the hot plate, there seems to be inside the hot plate, there are two elements... coils, and when you plug it in, the coils get hot. If you have a metal that is cold and you plug it in and it gets hot, the halacha is mavir. That's what it is. That's why turning on an incandescent light bulb is considered mavir. These are already bigger question, whether they're considered deraisa derabanan to turn on a fluorescent. But if you have the olden style light bulb, you have a downlighter, a halogen downlighter, or an olden style light bulb that has still a filament inside, what happens is you turn on the light, the electricity sends a current through the filament. The filament gets very, very hot from that, and the heat creates a glow that makes the light. That is mavir. That's an Isra mavir. So here, when you plug in a hot plate, the Isra plugging in a hot plate will be an Isra of Havara. Right? Now, we said Havara on Yom Tov, to make a new fire is only, according to most poskim, a derabanan. So therefore, you have a derabanan of asking the guy to do something. You have a derabanan of asking him to do something which is only derabanan, which is creating a new fire on Yom Tov. Where there's a tzorech oichel nefesh, right? Because why is he plugging in his hot plate? To be able to have hot food.
Yeah.
It's shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, and it's mutter. Okay, so that's what the Taz holds. The Taz says that creating a new fire is a raisa. Most poskim seem to disagree with the Taz. There is one more tzad I'm going to say now to be makel to allow this even more than what we said before. Okay? In this specific instance. Because what happened over here in this instance, so that's number one. If your hot plate is not plugged in, you forgot to plug in your hot plate, I'm talking about Yom Tov now, not Shabbos. I'll speak about Shabbos in a second. On Yom Tov, since making a new fire is Drabonon, asking a guy to do something is Drabonon, and Oichel Nefesh is Mutter, and you ask him to do Yitzhak Oichel Nefesh, you're allowed to ask the guy directly, go to his house, knock on, I forgot to plug in my hot plate, please can you plug in my hot plate? He can come and he can do it. No Bishalakum. You can put the food on already. Once he plugs it in, on Yom Tov, I'm allowed to put food on. It's not Bishalakum. And it's all cooked. Even if it's not cooked, I'm putting the food on. You can if you want to. You mean, you know. Some people, you put on what's called that soup, you know, if it takes a long time, you put it on, 2-3 hours, it can boil. Yeah, but if you put it on, in general, it's something that is wet, that is cold entirely, and you bring it to a boil, is considered Bishal. That's Bishal.
Maybe an egg.
Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. But you know, lemaisa bishul is mutter anyway. You're like, it won't be a problem. Shalakum, everything will be cooked beforehand, and you're allowed to cook. Derech agav, very, very important to mention. On Shabbos, this is not so poshut, because on Shabbos you're asking a guy to do an issa deraisa. To make a new fire on Shabbos is also deraisa, and there you're asking a guy to do a deraisa, and that's already much more complicated. There you won't be able to do that. Pardon? Asking God to do so, Rem is maybe so that's where the questions start becoming a little bit more complicated. Okay, now here there was another tzad, and I'll mention this tzad lahokel, and then we'll leave it with this. There was another tzad lahokel in this instance, and that is what had happened over here was the guy wasn't such a shlamazel that he forgot to plug in his hot plate. His wife said, "Set the timer." So he took a Shabbos clock, one of these pluggable time switches, and he plugged it in. Many people don't like having hot plates on for 2 days, especially on Yom Tov. And Shabbos is a little bit more complicated with it going off and going on with food on it and shalit, etc., etc. But on Yom Tov, there's definitely no question. You can go on and off if you want to. So he set his timer, he plugged in his timer, but he said, I'll plug in the hot plate later. He thought his wife's going to plug in the hot plate, his wife thought he's going to plug in the hot plate. Beinayim, nobody plugged in the hot plates. So now he's got a time switch in the plug that is, oh yeah, you can't move it. Now it's off. Now it's off. So now you're asking the guy to do even a further step remove. Because what we're asking the guy to do now is to do a shvus, because you've asked him to do something, the shvus to plug in another fire, but really here you're not even creating a fire. What are you doing? A grumma. It's only a grumma. Because in reality, your Shabbos clock at the moment is off. So when the guy plugs this hot plate into the Shabbos clock, what's going to happen? Nothing. That's a grumma. That's your grumma. She say, no, but in 2 hours it's going to turn on. Okay. So I asked the guy to create a grumma that's going to turn on a fire in 2 hours. So that's going to make it even better. That'll make it even better. We run out of time. All the halachas that came with Shabbos clocks. Yes, I went through it about what you can do, what you cannot do. And this is where this whole din of grumma came through as well. But it's important to realize that, at least in this instance, there's a grumma. By plugging it in, it will only create a grumma. If it's only a grumma, that might be mutter, that, you know, that'll be definitely mutter to ask the guy to do. The question will become, and that's a side issue, and I'm not passing this. Please, nobody go out here and say, I passing that this is mutter. However, the question becomes, will it be mutter for the yid to do that? Because even creating a new fire on Yom Tov is only Dirabbonon, and now it's only a grumma to create a new fire on Yom Tov. Okay? That's already a question you can ask, specifically because the Shmir Shabbos seems to say that if your hot plate is off and it's plugged in, you're allowed to make on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos, on Yom Tov allowed to make it go on earlier. So if it's now at 6 o'clock and it's meant to go on at 8, and you want it to go on at 7, you can pull out the pieces to make it go on at 7, on Yom Tov. Why? Because it's only a grumma to make it go on earlier, and Havar is really mutter. So if it's only a grumma, Havar is a mutter, so maybe I should be allowed to plug it in. There already you might have to worry about the chazanish. Maybe. Again, but you have this Yom Tov thing there to say that Bayin on Yom Tov is mutter, so you might be mutter as well. So as I'm saying, I'm not passing that it's mutter, but it is at least something to think about. So that's all goes in within it. But the bottom line is, if you wanted to ask the guy to plug in the hot plate on Yom Tov on because you forgot to plug it in, you will be allowed to ask him, and you'll be allowed to ask him directly. Anyone saying Kaddish? Yeah. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Shomitz Gosh, Baruch Hazak Yisoy, Lefich, Ochir, Ben Antem, Mitzvah, Shnei, Amar, Enoi, Chofetz, Eman, Sikoi, Yagdil, Toyo, Aviyadir.